the next topic I'd like to move us to is applications for ontologies. In all seriousness, this is where I'd like to hear from you guys, because I talked to a bunch of you during the breaks and in the hallways and all that, and it sounds like you're working on some neat stuff. And some you probably can't talk about, but hopefully some that you can. So I'd just like to go around the room, and what types of applications are you working on, or what type of application areas? And I've got a really nice grin over here, so I think I'm going to start with the gentleman in the gray shirt.
So I work for a company called Ingenuity Systems, and what we've done is curate recent scientific literature into oncology. We have maybe 30 built decision-making networking software to run off this. We're selling primarily to pharmaceutical
Okay, and where does the ontology fit into the system? Is it primarily indexing and retrieval?
The ontology goes into, we use the ontology to, I guess, network generation, which then is used in our software.
Characterization of nodes to support traversal.
Yes.
Any inference capability in that?
I'm uncomfortable discussing the intro. I don't know where I should go.
Perhaps.
We have the capability.
Okay. Okay. Neat. Anybody have any questions?
So, I guess really, any questions?
Oh, are you saying
yes. Say related, if you have a list of genes you're interested in which came out of a study, how do they fit together? How do they, how have they been referred to? What sort of facts have been discussed in the papers? What edges are made in the networks where they're validated from? If you have lots of different articles and you sort of get to talk about wormholes, you have all these different articles, which are not all consistent by any means, and we have absolutely no care about the consistency. But the fact that somebody stated this at some point is very interesting.
Mm.
And so we have, in the way we're doing it, we take that all into account.
So who interacts with the ontologies? Do you have taggers or indexers that have to tag to the normalized model? Are you doing automatic extraction?
No, we're doing we have a logic structure.
Okay.
Consulting scientists.
Okay. Do the users interact with that conceptual framework?
Not directly.
Okay. Cool.
So we'd like to become the source, right?
Right. Okay. Anybody want to jump in next?
Ingenuity Systems.
So, Mark, what are you doing with ontologies?
What am I doing with ontologies? Well, the application area that's still getting the most attention in our lab is representation of guidelines and best practices in clinical care.
Hmm.
And we've done a lot of work in trying to develop ontologies that can capture a way of describing what takes place in a clinical protocol that would define what happens to patients in certain conditions over time. And we have a number of systems, one of which is installed at a couple of VA hospitals that very explicitly manage patients who have high blood pressure and make recommendations to doctors about what drugs to consider, what laboratory tests to order based on previous response to treatment and problems that a patient might have. And in this situation, we have an ontology that defines the protocol according to which the patient is treated, ontologies that define drugs or their side effects, and all this sort of comes together in a system that is able to offer decision support.
Hmm. Cool. Questions? Thoughts?
Is this like an expert system?
Yeah. No one uses that word anymore, but...
You said something about high blood pressure. Is it just for the domain of high blood?
Well, the ontology is for guidelines in general. A particular application that's been fielded deals only right now with hypertension, although the clinical collaborators want to expand that for other kinds of guidelines.
Okay.
Is that that's in production right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Anybody want to jump in with another application?
Just what kind of inferencing do you need to do?
It's a complex reasoning process that looks at the state of the patient, which the system infers from an electronic patient record, identifies what previous treatments have been applied, whether the patient's goals for therapy are being met, and if they're not being met, then it tries to suggest ways in which the current therapy would be modified in order to meet the goals. So it's not a very easily described reasoning process, but it's one that essentially instantiates a skeletal plan for the treatment that would have to be rendered at a particular visit, looking at whether the patient is doing well and the therapy is within goal, which gives you do what was already working, versus if the patient is not doing well, then the system makes suggestions about how to modify the current treatment.
So does the system only take the text input and text record for the...
Well, it's not text. When I say electronic patient record, I mean a database that stores laboratory values, prescriptions, information on problems that patients had. All this is machine processable.
So does it look at like some like CT image?
No. We're looking at laboratory test results. We're looking at prescriptions. We're looking at problems that have been reported to the patient. And all of that is in encoded machine processing form. Don't use it in certain gateway of natural language as much as we can.
Anything else? Questions?
Is it a dream?
Well, the middleware that implements all this is called EON, E-O-N, don't ask why. And the particular instantiation that manages hypertension is called Athena.
Athena?
And if you go to the SMI website, smi.stanford.edu, you can search for publications that deal with both those systems.
I need another guinea pig. Yes, sir.
Sure. And then the SAGE uses fundamentally the same kind of ontology, the same kind of reasoning process. And SAGE represents a consortium that's funded by NIST with industrial partners from GE Healthcare Systems. Not clear where that's going to go. The technology is very similar to EON, although that hasn't had the same kind of deployment that EON has, surprisingly.
Will there be a postmortem of the SAGE project shaped around an ontology of what was learned and what was not learned, or is that too confidential there?
It will happen in the context of publications that will come out in the next few months that are being written now. Most of what was learned really concerns all the organizational problems that the project faces and consequences of stuff, which is really not worth going into right now. I mean, scientifically, most of those... What the SAGE project did was to show that the kinds of things that we did in EON could be replicated in a system that would interoperate with a commercial hospital patient system.
Do it!
I already gave my talk on Kalo, so that's where I spent most of my time. But a small fraction of my time goes on these projects I'm trying to get off the ground, which, in a sort of one- or two-sentence version, what I'm trying to do is encode how we reason about other people's emotions and use that knowledge at the level of a five-year-old help teach children with autism how to take perspective, take the other person's perspective, how to reason about another person's emotion. And so this would be, you know, a simple model of psychology employed in a kind of clinical therapy type application.
Well, that sounds similar to the human markup language stuff in OASIS, but I doubt if it's related.
Well, it is sometimes shared in the human markup technical committee. It is related when you consider emotions to be a domain that would be secondary schema or primary to this handling. It's a large category that human interests fall into. It's very much an ontology related effort, but also it's intended to pull together all the existing standards for human-specific activities, individual information, physical information such as medical health records, etc. But we haven't had enough participation at this point, so we're actually going to have to put the TC in mothballs after this Wednesday for however long it takes. What I'm doing tomorrow is the campus kid will be writing an RFI to Department of Health and Human Services on personal information for use in emergencies and for personal information storage accessibility for use in emergencies. This is another one of the things that technical committee was looking for, but in boiling it down to a primary-based schema, we originally had emotions as a category, but we do have it in there, but we don't have the specific, it's all just the, you know, just the primary category. So there's
no substructure.
I mean, it isn't because we have a lack of it. We decided not to have substructures in the primary base.
Mm.
Substructures or secondaries, and that way you can include anything, literally. Including gap product, because you can have things that are contradictory or conflicting or overlapping without having to, for us to be objective or the right.
So, Bill, what organization kind of sponsored or
well,
pushed that?
Right? Nobody. I mean,
yeah.
Trying to get SRI to do some internal funding for it.
Yeah.
And then, so if we get the internal funding and get some kind of pilot data, then, you know, we'd be interested in something like NSF, NIH, or Department of Ed, or a private foundation. The rough idea is to encode simple rules that allow us to infer whether a kid would be happy or sad. You know, given, you know, Tracy wants an apple, Tracy gets a banana, is she happy or sad? Well, you can create a number of different arguments why Tracy would be happy. For example, she's getting attention from her mom, she's getting food, she's getting fruit. What she really wanted was fruit. And you can also argue that Tracy is not happy because she's not getting exactly what she wanted. And so my dissertation research showed that, you know, all of those explanations are believable. And so we want our model to be generative, in other words, to generate all the believable appraisals of a given situation. And so the hope is to create a model that generates a bunch of appraisals for a bunch of simple scenarios and feed those appraisals onto the web and get people on the web to rate the believability of the deduction of the model and use that feedback to improve the knowledge base. So, you know, if we can get this off the ground, it can be the kind of thing that we can apply to arbitrary domains, not just emotion, but other aspects of common sense. Maybe, yeah. So that's a little more expansion on the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of an extension of my dissertation work and other random projects that I'm pursuing. So.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of get more specific. Which agents would interact with the ontology? Would it be strictly automated or also would that guide?
The idea would be to have rules, like simple rules, like if you get what you want, then you're happy. If you don't get what you want, then you're sad. Mm-hmm. If you get something that kind of matches what you want, then maybe you're happy, right? And so these rules would be encoded, and many, many variants of them, technical variants of them. Any process, either like an expert knowledge engineer might add the content, or we might leverage random people working on the web, like they do in Tim Chikovsky's work at ISI or the Open Mind Common Sense Project, you know, use some kind of way to add, to have random people contributing knowledge. Or we might even have learning algorithms inducing new rules. So we have content, and those are the three ways that we might get content. But the cool new piece is that content would be applied to an inferential process that would happen, you know, overnight. You generate a bunch of deductions, and you put those deductions on the web and feed them to other people who would evaluate, you know, this explanation as to why Toby is happy. This one I find believable, but this one I don't. And so once we get feedback to that content, we can say, well, this rule is a good rule and this rule is a bad rule. And then once we have that content, you know, now, you know, in the starry-eyed future, we would have a knowledge model that would do a reasonably good approximation of how people reason about simple scenarios. And we could hopefully put that into a tutoring system that would teach, you know, Johnny, the autistic child, how to, you know, what's a good reason, what's a good candidate way someone would reason about a given situation and what is not. So once you have the knowledge, then the assumption is that we can put it in a tutoring system, you know, let the educational people apply that knowledge. And, you know, there'd be many other applications, not just for autism. Farther down the line, there could be applications for depression, social skills training, phobia management, you know, who knows. Did that answer your question?
The impression I'm getting is that there's really not much human interaction with the ontology, but it really guides and is influenced by a computer-human interaction model.
Right. So there wouldn't be necessarily that much interaction. You know, for example, is this, yeah, you're familiar with the Open Mind Common Sense Project or...
not really.
MindPixel. Well, people would see the results of inference more. So the average person would go to this website. In fact, if you go to openheartlogic.org and click on Ruminate, you will see some of the early work here. And so the idea is to, validate the model by having average Joes go to this website and look at what the system is producing and give the model feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And so that feedback would be like feedback in a machine learning sense to refine, that would help us figure out, you know, We're making this deduction from this rule, and this deduction is being rated unbelievable by the majority of users. And so, because this rule is causing this unbelievable deduction, let's remove it from the model. And this could all happen automatically,
right?
Or semi-automatically. And so, the hope is we could spin up a good model without tuning. Because right now, there's the big thing is the knowledge acquisition bottleneck. How do we solve that? And maybe a partial way to solve that is by computing the deductive closure of a knowledge base and rating the believability of the deductions.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's clear, but...
I followed like 80% of the words. It made sense.
Interesting.
Can you scale the believability?
Right, so I think the best way to do it is, you know, do the Likert scale, like a finite and Likert scale. Now, Sitecorp has something now. If you go to factory.com or search on factory, they have a true-false rating. So, I mean, it's a research question as to, you know, I mean, depending what you want to do, you can vote yes or no, you can have a 10-item Likert scale, you can have a slider, but I'm thinking a five-item is good for now. So...
Question.
determining emotional responses. And giving a child the test, and then for the concept of asking the question, giving them a slider that lets them change an expression from neutral to happy, neutral to sad, to angry or disgusted, whatever, and then just choose whichever one they want. The face goes to the expression of their, that they think is applicable, and that when you get a sliding thing.
Right, yeah.
I happen to have emotional issues, but
oh, cool. Yeah, there's a guy named Simon Baron Cohen who has a DVD that is a workbook, you know, basically kind of a static thing. It's not like a knowledge base. So the hope is to, you know, this isn't going to be as good as a human therapist, but it's going to be maybe a little bit better than a DVD or a workbook. Now, but yeah, a slider.
Well, also the way you're testing yourself is to get your children and then look at the test of what the children boxes.
Yeah.
So you get a feel for, you know, what's normal versus what the kid child has.
Right. You can reuse knowledge not just for tutoring, but for diagnosis, assessment, that kind of thing.
Test the effectiveness of this prior to going in. I mean, if somebody, you know, there's some subset of autism, if they're not going to be able to recognize, but not care. But some are going to, you know, there's a disconnect at different points.
Right.
So, you could see an improving score.
Right. So this guy, Simon Baron Cohen, I'm so glad he existed because he made me an interaction. Stuff that I'm using, but he's done an efficacy study of this DVD, actually just published this year. And so he's shown that it's effective. It teaches the kids something, but they don't really generalize too well. So they don't generalize to arbitrary cases. So, you know, this can be viewed as a reason that we need to go beyond the DVD and build an AI system that can reason about arbitrary cases, because then the kid can sit there. Instead of just do 500 exercises, you can do 500. These lovely kids are like great dads. They really do self-stim, and they can sit in front of the computer for a long time. And so the theory would be that if they have enough exposure to enough cases, then the generalization problem could be addressed by using AI. So far the efficacy, so you asked about efficacy, and Simon Baron Cohen wrote this paper, and so if that worked, maybe AI would work that a little better. Hopefully we'll get funding to find out.
Yes, sir. Can you
Well, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody who thinks they might have an ontology application but aren't sure?
Project is going to be looking at